Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And we are right around the corner from Lent. Lent's coming up on Wednesday. Can you believe it? Ash Wednesday. Today is March 3rd, 2025. Great to be with you on a Monday morning, and it's sunny. But, baby, it's cold outside. We're only at about 21 degrees. We'll have a complete forecast for you in just a minute or so. Coming up, we will have 2 cents and then word of the day from our friend Dave Vacherez at the bottom of the hour or shortly thereafter. Vanessa Denha-Garmel joins us, of course, from Epiphany, where we discuss in the news. How many of you watched the Oscars last night? I didn't. I avoided them like the plague. Who cares what these people think? I did happen to flip through the channels and saw some associate producer complaining about politics, and I'm like, and hence the reason I'm not watching it. So we'll discuss that with Vanessa and this entitlement that these people in Hollywood still feel, plus a delusional media keep putting out things that defy reality. That's coming up into the news. Speaking of Lent, coming up in the second hour of the program, Marge Fenelon, well-known speaker and author, will be joining us. She penned a great piece for The Register, talking about how we can prepare for Lent. It's not too late. Maybe you don't know what you're going to be doing for Lent. That's okay. You still have time. You have 3 days, basically. 2.5 days, I guess. And then Michael New joins us. He's a senior associate scholar for the Charlotte Lozier Institute and assistant professor of practice at the Catholic University of America. We will discuss with him some of the new research out there, pro-life research. He's always on top of it. And then because it's a Monday, we wrap up with our Bible verse of the week. Had a great weekend. Hope you did too. And yesterday was just so precious. We took our grandnieces, Liliana and Francesca, to buy their communion dresses. It was so much fun. And we went to a lovely store that had a very large dressing room for little girls to try on the dresses. And there were a number of little girls in there with their moms and grandmothers. And the girls love bling. And so they were so excited. Now, normally they like to do things differently. One always wears pink. That's Francesca. The other one, Lily, always wears purple. That's the only way we can tell them apart because they're so identical. But they decided to get the same communion dress. And it was so beautiful. They got little veils and the gloves, and they're still working on the shoes, looking for those white shoes. But they're so excited about making their Holy Communion, and they're all into it. And so it was such a joy to be with them and their mom and their grandmother. We had a great time, and what a precious moment. It's one of those frozen moments, as my late godmother, Jenny Aiello, used to say, those moments you want to freeze in time and never forget. So congratulations to Liliana and Francesca making their communion very soon in April. Great time of year right now. Okay, again, we are going to be chatting with Vanessa Denha-Garmel after the break. We will talk with Marge Fenelon on preparing for Lent, and then Michael New joins us on more research on pro-life issues, and then Gail Buckley gives us our scripture verse of the week. As I mentioned, cold out there, 21 degrees under clear skies. Let's get the local weather first for southeastern Michigan. Going up to 38 degrees today, so not bad, sunny skies. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 50. Woohoo. Wednesday, 53 and partly sunny. I'd say more like reality on Thursday, 37. Then moving into the weekend, 38 on Friday. But the nice thing is we're looking at mostly sunny skies until we hit, Friday, because then we get some clouds. And then the rest of the week, next week, if we get to the weekend, 38 on Saturday, 38 on Sunday, all the way back up to 47 on Monday, Tuesday, 57 and Wednesday. Next Wednesday, March 12th, 63 degrees. I kid you not. So there it is. All right, let's take a look at the national weather as well. This morning we have strong winds and very dry conditions promoting officially to extremely critical fire weather conditions across portions of the southern plains, especially across eastern New Mexico and far western Texas. And then we have heavy high elevation mountain snow continuing in the Sierra Nevada and Great Basin through today. And then they're saying in that area, 1 to 2 feet of snow expected. 8:04 on a busy Monday morning, getting close to the start of Lent, which is Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Let's get started on a Monday and find out how the Pope's doing in Rome. Well, the Pope's sleeping well throughout the night, the Holy See Press Office said this morning. After he woke up, the Holy Father had breakfast and began the day's therapies. Francesco Merlo from the Vatican explains the Pope prepared also a written statement for his Sunday Angelus message.
In his Angelus address, while receiving treatment in hospital, Pope Francis thanked the faithful for their continued support during his time of frailty, and he urged continued prayers for peace, particularly in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Myanmar, Sudan, and Kivu. From here, war appears even more absurd, he said. The Pope expressed gratitude to the doctors and healthcare professionals for their care and reflected on the hidden grace within his illness. He said, "In these moments we learn to trust in the Lord," adding that he thanks God for the opportunity to share the condition of so many suffering people. The Pope conveyed his deep appreciation for the prayers of the faithful, noting that he feels carried and supported by all God's people. Before reflecting on the day's gospel, the Pope assured the faithful of his prayers for them. Turning then to the gospel, the Pope invited meditation on two senses, sight and taste. Regarding sight, he explained that Jesus asks us to train our eyes to observe the world and to judge others with charity. If it is not fraternal, it is not correction, he said, adding that care and not condemnation makes fraternal correction virtuous. Speaking then of taste, the Pope recalled Jesus' teaching that every tree is known by its fruit. He compared the rotten fruits of violent, false, and vulgar words with the good fruits of just and honest words that enrich dialogue. He explained that true Christian words nourish and build up the community and create harmony and mutual respect.
A further update on the Holy Father's condition, meanwhile, is expected sometime today. The Holy See Press Office announcing on Friday that high-ranking Vatican official Cardinal Angelo De Donatis will preside at the traditional celebration of the Ash Wednesday liturgy on the Aventine Hill, taking place on the 5th of March. Maintaining an ancient Roman tradition revived by John the 23rd, the Pope usually begins the Ash Wednesday stational liturgy at the Church of St. Anselmo before leading a penitential procession to the Basilica of Santa Sabina on the Aventine Hill, where he celebrates Mass. Of course, since Pope Francis is in Rome's Gemelli Hospital to receive treatment for bilateral pneumonia, he has delegated the cardinal to preside in his place for this year's ceremony. In other news, Secretary of State Mark Rubio, as Mark Mayfield tells us, is insisting the U.S. is committed to ending the Russia-Ukraine war.
Rubio told ABC's This Week he hopes Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will see that and come to the negotiating table. He said a ceasefire deal will be difficult, but it's the best path forward. Rubio's comments come days after President Trump and Zelensky had a tense exchange while meeting at the White House to discuss a deal that would have given the U.S. access to Ukrainian minerals in exchange for providing aid.
European leaders, meanwhile, pledging billions in support of Ukraine following an emergency summit in London yesterday. The British Prime Minister is saying the U.K., France, and others will work together to figure out a plan to stop fighting and then present a plan to President Trump.
Together with others, Europe must do the heavy lifting, but to support peace in our continent and to succeed, this effort must have strong U.S. backing.
Prime Minister Starmer announcing a loan of nearly $3 billion for Ukraine, which will be funneled through the freezing of Russian assets. He also highlighted a new deal to allow Ukraine to buy missiles made in Northern Ireland. He also vowed to bolster Ukraine to allow it to negotiate a peace deal from a position of power, he noted. The plan is being worked on in coordination with the U.S., and it will have U.S. backing. House Speaker Mike Johnson, meanwhile, says Ukrainian President Zelensky may have to leave office after his public disagreement with the president on Friday. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, Johnson says Zelensky needs to show proper gratitude for U.S. assistance during the Russia-Ukraine war and work toward ending conflict. He also said either Zelensky won't do that, someone else may need to leave the country. This comes after Trump and Zelensky had a heated exchange of words while meeting at the White House last week. The ACLU is suing the Trump administration to stop the transfer of 10 immigrants to Guantanamo Bay, the activist group arguing there's no legal authority to transfer them to the detention camp and say the move would violate both federal law and the U.S. Constitution. The ACLU clarifying they are not challenging the administration's authority to detain individuals. They're only fighting against the transfer to Guantanamo. Israel says it will prevent humanitarian aid from entering Gaza after Hamas rejected its proposal to extend the first phase of the Gaza ceasefire agreement to cover the Islamic Ramadan and Jewish Passover periods.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has accused Hamas of stealing supplies brought into the enclave, which the militant group denies. This block on humanitarian aid will undoubtedly ramp up pressure on Hamas to agree to an extension of the first phase of the ceasefire, which it has resisted.
Reporter Giles Gibson says the UN, several Arab states, and aid agencies are condemning Israel's decision to keep aid from reaching Gaza. Benji Heyer reports President Trump over the weekend signed an executive order making English the official language of the U.S.
Our nation's historic governing documents have all been written in English. It is therefore long past time that English is declared as the official language of the United States, read the White House statement. The Trump administration claims the decision will streamline communication and reinforce shared values, creating a more cohesive and efficient society. It marks the first time the U.S. has designated an official language at the federal level since the country was founded almost 250 years ago. Nearly 68 million of America's 340 million residents speak another language other than English.
A security guard is hospitalized and a man is in custody following a shooting at a Phoenix area hospital yesterday afternoon. Scottsdale Police Officer Aaron Bolin says a man who was brought into the Honor Health Scottsdale Shea Medical Center emergency room by a relative shot the guard in the upper body after resisting treatment.
Because of the brave actions of the security guards and some of the other hospital staff and then the swiftness of our officers responding, this suspect was able to get basically detained and arrested right away.
Police say the security guard was taken to a trauma center for treatment and is expected to survive. No one else was hurt in the incident. Advances in research into AI, artificial intelligence, require huge information centers, and that brings concerns about the impact on the nation's power grid. Experts, though, are urging Congress to roll back the policies of the previous administration, which they say hampered the fossil fuel industry.
If we don't start increasing reliable generation very quickly, our grid will get crushed, especially by the demands of AI.
That's Alex Epstein with the San Diego-based Center for Industrial Progress, who says that long-term the nation needs to invest in nuclear energy that he argues is more reliable than wind and solar. Republicans in a recent Capitol Hill hearing agreed, and they're looking for ways to unleash America's energy independence. California Governor Newsom declaring a state of emergency to expedite wildfire prevention efforts. Saturday's proclamation aims to fast-track, he says, critical forest management projects by cutting bureaucratic red tape. His move follows this year's deadly Southern California wildfires and is intended to prepare for peak wildfire season. He emphasized the urgency of protecting vulnerable communities and ensuring projects are completed swiftly. Meanwhile, L.A. Department of Water and Power officials, as Jim Roop explained, say they were in the dark about non-working hydrants ahead of the deadly Palisades wildfire.
The Los Angeles Times is reporting that while the Los Angeles Fire Department knew months before the fires that 1,350 fire hydrants were in need of repair, the department did not alert the DWP until mid-February about it. The DWP relies on the LAFD to conduct annual inspections of some 66,000 hydrants, and according to the Times, DWP CEO Janice Quinones says a report given to the DWP in August did not flag any hydrants as needing to be repaired.
Around 5,000 acres, meanwhile, burning in South Carolina as 170 fires have been reported across the state, with the governor declaring a state of emergency over the weekend. In North Carolina, a fire in Blue Ridge Mountain area, 40 miles from Asheville, has scorched some 500 acres. Scott Pringle tells us there are already protests and endorsements after former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced over the weekend he will be running for New York City mayor.
Protesters gathered outside of a Sunday Cuomo campaign event to remind folks of the sexual harassment allegations that prompted Cuomo to resign as governor.
We have not forgotten his abuse of women and all the ways that he has harmed New Yorkers.
Cuomo has denied allegations he created a sexually hostile work environment for a number of women. Meanwhile, inside the campaign event, Cuomo picking up endorsements from the Carpenters and Painters unions.
The Detroit Skating Club paying tribute this weekend to the victims of a plane crash in Washington that killed several fellow ice skaters. A Saturday event in the suburb of Bloomfield Hills was titled Skate for Flight 5342, which was hit by an Army helicopter when they were landing at Reagan International Airport, killing everyone on both aircrafts.
Just like this jacket, it's kind of nice to remind people that they lived, like they were people, and we lived in their world as well.
That was skater Juan Maravilla, who wore a jacket from his friend Spencer, who was among the victims. He and his brother John Maravilla both knew several of the victims and grew up skating with them and had just spent time with them at a skating camp and competition in Kansas right before the crash. The Detroit Skating Club's Shelley Meyer said the performances were very emotional. A private space company has successfully landed a spacecraft on the moon. Firefly Aerospace landed its Blue Ghost spacecraft on the lunar surface early Sunday morning. The uncrewed 6-foot-tall lunar lander was launched back in January, and Firefly CEO Jason Kim said the Blue Ghost was stable and upright upon touchdown. The lander has already sent its first image back to Earth, showing the lunar dust at the landing site. The Texas-based Firefly Aerospace is now only the second private sector company ever to land a spacecraft on the moon. And the United Airlines flight from Missouri to Houston diverted to Waco, Texas last night after severe turbulence injured at least 5 people. The flight was operated by SkyWest, and the injured were taken to a hospital for treatment. 2 other flights operated by American Airlines were also diverted to Waco. And New Orleans is under heavy security, as Lisa Carton explains this weekend, as those who are ready to get involved in Mardi Gras step up their celebrations.
City officials say the heavy police presence is receiving significant federal support. This after a deadly ISIS-inspired truck attack in the French Quarter killed 14 people on New Year's Day. Between now and Mardi Gras this coming Tuesday, there will be dozens of parades on the streets of the Big Easy. Several items, however, have been banned, including private drones. But bead throwing will still be allowed.
And it's just about 8:17 on a Monday morning, the week that we start Lent, March 3rd, 2025. Weather-wise, we're up to, woohoo, sunshine and 22 degrees in the Motor City and much of southeastern Michigan. We are going up. Let's see, our high temperature for today on the 3rd will be 38 and partly sunny skies, all the way up to 50 tomorrow. Even warmer on Ash Wednesday, 50 degrees on Thursday, 37. Friday, 38, and over the weekend, not too bad. We're going to see a high of 38 and partly sunny skies on Saturday, more of the same on Sunday. All the way up next week, listen to this. Monday, 47, sunshine, 57, full sun on Tuesday, all the way up to 63, a week from Ash Wednesday on March 12th. So not bad, folks. Looking pretty nice in terms of maybe a little bit of early spring weather. Not so much across the country. Critical to extremely critical fire weather in the southern plains. Heavy snow in the Sierra Nevada and Great Basin. Strong winds and very dry conditions will be promoting critical to extremely critical fire weather across portions of the southern plains, especially across eastern New Mexico and far western Texas. Heavy high elevation mountain snow will continue in the Sierra Nevada and Great Basin through Monday, with 1 to 2 feet of snow expected in some areas. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Thanks for listening to Catholic Connection. It is Monday, March 3rd, and it's 22 degrees outside in the Motor City under sunny skies. Stay tuned.
Is your child struggling with math or reading? Want to boost their grades and confidence? Hi, this is Ed Bahura. Welcome to Sylvan Learning Centers, where success is just a session away. With 45 years of experience, Sylvan Learning offers help in reading, math, college prep, and much more, with flexible schedules, affordable rates, and interest-free financing. Enroll today and watch your child's confidence soar. Catch up, keep up, and get ahead. Call 1-800-EDUCATE.
Have you ever thought about what you want written on your gravestone? We think about how we want others on earth to remember us, but perhaps our focus should be how God sees us. How we communicate in life impacts the conversations we'll have with God in death. Will we be remembered as bold communicators? I've been bold and sometimes outright aggressive in my talk, but without holiness, the boldness can come off as berating. Without holiness in our hearts, how can good commentary pass through our lips? How we speak can equate to how we live. I wrote about my dad's funeral shortly after he died in 2002. He didn't die a rich man or a famous man, but he died a good man. A faithful man, one ready to meet God the Father. His faith is what I remember most. In life, my dad communicated kindness and love. That kindness and love will always be remembered by those who knew him well. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
You are so much more than your cancer diagnosis. You're our inspiration. At Trinity Health, cancer care experts combine the latest research and technology with personalized support inspired by you and your unique journey, from diagnosis to treatment and beyond. We're here to guide you every step of the way with care that nurtures your body, mind, and spirit. Learn more at trinityhealthmi.org/cancer. Trinity Health, we see all of you.
821, welcome back. Beautiful morning, cold but sunny. 22 degrees in the Motor City and beyond in southeastern Michigan. I was telling Andrew during the break that, and I was talking about this too on the Sunrise Morning Show, my weekly Monday segment, that it's so interesting to see how the media react to a Pope being sick or hospitalized or away from regular activity. The headlines say it all in terms of how much they don't understand or how much they want to put forth a particular agenda or reality that isn't a reality. And so I was reading Andrew a headline during the break and said, Catholics unlikely to call for the resignation of the Pope. Okay, what are we going to do? Sign a petition? Take a vote? Get on Zoom with 1.4 billion people and say, okay, who votes for the resignation of the Pope because he's not feeling well? It is not up to us. It is up to the Holy Spirit and the princes of the church and the Pope himself to decide whether he may step down. Now, he did say, Pope Francis, after Benedict resigned, that if he felt that he couldn't fulfill the duties, that he would consider stepping down. Although recently, he has said that he believes a position is for life and he's going to do his best to get back, God willing, right, into the full activities of the chair of Peter. But this is why right now is such a great time to evangelize and to explain about the church. Because if a media outlet is writing that Catholics are not going to call for the resignation, they're under the assumption, or they want it to be a particular way, where we get to vote. Okay? The church is not a political race, is not politics. You don't go and pull a lever or fill out a particular form or send in a ballot and say, this is what I think. Now, we do have recourse to reach out to our bishops and our leaders and write letters and get involved and share how we feel about things, obviously to our pastors and associate pastors and deacons and, again, bishops, auxiliary bishops, etc. But at the end of the day, the structure of the church, everything is handed down through Christ through apostolic succession. And the papacy is something that is discussed among the Pope and the College of Cardinals. And it's just really, I think, interesting and eye-opening about how much people don't know about how the church operates. I had the opportunity to explain it, as I was saying on the Sunrise Morning Show this morning, to some local reporters who were very nice and very honestly interested in how the papacy works. And one of the reasons, main reasons I wrote the book, Italy, Shrines and Wonders, in addition to offering an ultimate travel guide, and by the way, thanks be to God, it continues to remain in the top 10 to 20 Italy guides on Amazon. Now that, when you have a book, it usually fluctuates daily, but it has been super high up there in terms of new Italy guides being released, right up there with Rick Steves' books, which means so much to me. And also been very high on Catholic books, which is huge because there's thousands of Catholic books on Amazon. Anyway, the main reason I wrote the book, Italy, Shrines and Wonders, is for stealth evangelization. Now, anybody can pick up Italy, Shrines and Wonders, as Deal Hudson said in his wonderful review that he gave me on Amazon and the interview I did with him a couple weeks ago. Anybody can pick up this book and be informed about what to do, where to go, where to stay, where to pray. Main highlights in the big cities such as Rome and Florence and Venice and everywhere else. But at the same time, I tell the stories of the saints. I say how the church really is responsible, so true, so factual, for developing much of Italy over the centuries, after, of course, the influence of the Romans and the Etruscans and the early civilizations. And the saints, saints, saints everywhere, especially in the region where Deacon Dominic and I reside a few months a year, Umbria. And so this would be a great gift for someone who maybe still identifies as Catholic but has fallen away from the faith, maybe put it in their Easter basket. Or give it to them. It actually would be a great Lenten journey to sit down and go through this book and learn more about the saints. It will also dispel many of the myths or misunderstandings, such as the one in that headline that I mentioned. Catholics unlikely to call for the resignation of the Pope. That headline speaks volumes. But as always, it is an opportunity, whenever the church is in the news, to explain things. And also, I think, to refresh our own understanding of how the church works. Super important. Do we understand how the papacy works? Do we understand when and how Jesus gave the keys to Peter. And what's the significance in the Sistine Chapel of St. Peter handing the keys back to Jesus? What's the significance in St. Peter's Square and all over Rome of St. Peter and Paul always appearing together? St. Peter with the keys and St. Paul with the sword. What is the significance of the arms of the colonnade in St. Peter's? What is the significance of the Pietà and the Baldacchino and the Scavi tour? All of these things which people will hear about when they go on a tour of St. Peter's, the Vatican, Sistine Chapel, if we read up on it, even though we may be very familiar with it, it will also strengthen our own faith. Something you can do, of course, during Lent, which we're encouraged to do, and I hope my book, Italy's Shrines and Wonders, helps. You can get it at Amazon or the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. These are all opportunities, folks, for all of us to learn more about the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Speaking of which, Dave Vasquez is with us now for the Word of the Day as we begin Lent very, very soon, right around the corner.
On this Monday, March the 3rd, our word for today, our words, one thing, our words for today, taken from our gospel reading, from the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Wow. You know what? I have to say, if the Lord Jesus said to me right now, "Dave, you lack only one thing," I would be like the most excited person in the world. Because by my own calculation, I lack at least 37,000 things. There are several things that I'm juggling right now that I know I need to draw closer to the Lord on. I know that there are things that I cling to in this life that I've not yet given completely over to him. If he were to say to me, "You're down to one thing," I would think, "Oh my goodness, that is fabulous." But one thing can certainly get in the way. And for this man, and it is telling that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He wasn't disputing the fact that the man had kept these commandments. He wasn't disputing the fact that the man had a heart that was sincerely turned toward the Lord. In fact, he loved him and said, "Man, you're this close. You're this close to having everything turned completely over to me. And really, truly having me, God, as your one thing. There's only one thing standing between you and the actual most important thing, and that is these things that you own. Sell everything you have, small little dinky thing. Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have eternal life. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Now, here's the thing. So often Jesus says, even after he heals someone, "Go back home, go do this, go do that." We know that he said, "Come follow me," to the 12 in particular. That's how close this man was to having everything, to being counted among the saints. We know the names of the apostles. We know the names of those first followers. We don't know his name. We could have known his name. We could be recounting his name even to this day. We could be thinking about the cathedrals that have been built after him, that have been built in his name. He could be in that line of followers of Christ that we recall with great devotion, even at our Mass. He's separated by that, by his love for the things of this world. How ridiculous and how sad. And yet we have the same challenge. The Lord God says to me, remove this thing and that thing, and then I become your one thing. You don't need anything but me. I am your one thing. Don't let anything separate you from you and me. I am your all in all. I have to be your all in all. Your one thing. One thing, our word for today.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dave. Dave Asherez from Annunciation Radio in Toledo. And we'll be right back. It is a Monday morning. It's March 3rd, 2025. Looking forward to catching up with Vanessa Denhagarmo, host of the wonderful Epiphany Show, heard every day here at noon. Love her program. Hey, before we take a quick break and bring V on, I did want to remind you that the event coming up on March 27th is really filling up. We are about a third of the way there. We only have 60 seats. In honor of Corporate Travel's 60th anniversary and the release of my latest book, Italy Shrines and Wonders, we are having a beautiful evening. We are having an evening with Teresa Tomio and Deacon Dom and local professional chef Michelle Bomarito. And we are going to be giving you an idea of how to put together a beautiful, beautiful, very wonderful Tuscan soup called Ribollita. And guess what? This cooking demonstration with professional chef Michelle Bomarito, we will be talking about growing up in an Italian-American household, talking about food, talking about the different regions of Italy. Michelle will also be demonstrating how to put the soup together. But guess what? Our friends at Cantoro's will already have prepared the soup based on my recipe from the book. And so we'll be serving the soup. We'll be having wonderful appetizers and wine. It's Thursday, so you can still have a little bit of meat, of course, during Lent. And we're so looking forward to getting together with you. But again, the seats are selling quickly. It's Thursday, March 27, starts at 5:30, takes place at the Corporate Travel Headquarters in Northville, Michigan. Now, here's a number to call, 866-468-1420. And the $60 includes the dinner, the cooking demonstration, wine, talks by, you know, kind of very interactive talks with me, Michelle, and Deacon Dom. You also get a copy of the book. The book itself is $25. So, hey, I never met a sale I didn't like. So, again, it's coming up Thursday, March 27th. We'd love to see you there. Very limited seating, 866-468-1420, 866-468-1420. I'll also be there to sign the books as well. When we come back, Vanessa Denhagarmo, I believe her and Ronnie are going to join us for the cooking demo. We'd love to see you there, too. And we love chatting with V. She's up next. I do hope you're having a wonderful day, 8:30. And I know my day is always better when I'm talking with my little sis, Vanessa Denhagarmo, my sister from another mister. You are. It's like you're, we're very, very close.
People can't even tell our voices are different on the air. It's so funny.
It's so funny. People email me when you're filling in, you did this, that. Well, it sounds great, but it wasn't me. It was V. Anyhow, I thought of you when I was doing my 2 cent segment for this morning, and Andrew and I were laughing before the show began because I saw this headline, and these have been all over the place about the Pope and what's going on. And one headline this morning said, Catholics will most likely not ask the Pope to resign. Oh, gee, I didn't know we were in charge. Did you know?
No, I had no idea. When I heard that, I was like, what do they think? This is an election? I mean,
They just
don't understand. Why don't you do a little research? Ask, go to your local diocese. It's not that hard. And ask the local spokesperson to explain how this works. I mean, the fact that they put that out there, it just tells you how ignorant. It reminds me of when The View and Joy Behar was screaming at Bishop Strickland for refusing to give communion to Nancy Pelosi. And she said, who does he think he is? He has no authority. I'm like,
okay.
You don't know. I mean, do your research before you make your comments. And that was a headline story. Unbelievable.
You know, I wonder if it is, I think it's a combination, V, of how they want the church to be, both of how ignorant they are, but how they want the church to be a certain way. And I think if they think they say it enough, that the church will change. Case in point would be an interview I did last week with this online streaming news network where they feed a lot of sound bites and clips to different networks and TV stations, mainly on the East Coast, who subscribe, and they saw one of my press releases that I put out about the Pope. And they, you know how, when we did this too, when we were in the news business, how we would always, if someone was struggling and they're getting older, we would like, remember Mayor Young, a lot of people did interviews and had things in the can and statements,
Yeah.
God forbid, when he died or whatever. And so this is the same thing with the Pope. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. People do prepare and get that together. But this one reporter must have asked me, V, 5 or 6 questions about the LGBTQ agenda.
Okay.
And didn't Pope Francis do this, and didn't Pope Francis do this? And I said,
and probably
no,
the stating
no,
what
and no.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, taking what he said out of context, as they always have. And and so how did you end it, T?
I mean, it was fine, but I told Dominic after I got off the interview, I said, well, I'm going to be on the cutting room floor because I didn't say what he wanted me to say. He asked the question 6 ways to Sunday.
Yeah.
And I said, at the end of the day, the Holy Father may approach it differently, and he may have met more openly with people in the LGBTQ community, but he always met them where they were at. But at the end of the day, defended, as he's supposed to do from the chair of Peter, defend the church teaching. And the same thing with women priests, the same thing with, oh, and he brought up abortion. Well, you know, the Pope has been really progressive about abortion. I said, I'm not really sure where you're getting your information. The Pope has been strong to the point where he has said that abortion is like hiring a hitman to solve a problem. So it's actually just the opposite of what you're
saying. He's called it an intrinsic evil.
Intrinsic evil and part of the throwaway culture.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting, and that's why you have to be very, very careful, and we say this all the time, where you get your news, especially when you're talking about the Catholic faith, right?
Yeah, and especially, T, that just shows you there's an agenda behind everything. It's like he wants so hard, he's trying so hard to get your answers to fit his narrative. And he couldn't get you to do it. And that's you also speak to the fact that not only do you have to be careful where you get your information, you have to do your research and know what you're talking about. Just like these reporters are failing to do their research, you should know the teachings of our church. You should know what the church says about these critical issues, such as abortion, and such as homosexuality and LGBTQ. You should know the teachings of the church when you go into these critical conversations with your friends and family so you know what you're talking about.
And I wonder, because he was reading from a list, I think his editors gave him a list of questions.
And he probably didn't know what he was talking about.
He didn't know, and he was very young. And at the end, when he couldn't get what he wanted, he moved on to an entirely different topic, which was fine, about what will happen, how does it work when the Pope dies and whatnot. But it was very, very interesting. It has been an opportunity, though, as I said during Two Cents Fee, I think when we see a situation like this, it really is an opportunity for evangelization, I think.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's actually a wonderful opportunity. I remember, T, you and I were talking many years ago when you got asked, were you asked to be on The View or Oprah, one of those, and we discussed it and whether it was worth it?
Yeah.
And so it's like when Bishop Francis got an opportunity to do an article in the New York Times. You know, these are good opportunities to preach to the non-choir, right? These are not the choir people that we're talking to. But you have to also be very strategic, do your research, know what you're talking about, and be really prepared. That's why we do media training, because you have to be prepared for when they're going to try to gotcha trap you, like they did Jesus.
Yeah.
Like the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. I mean, this is not new. And when people have an agenda, they're going to try to trap you. That's why you have to know what you're doing before you go in and do these interviews. You have to be well prepared.
And even if it may seem like a good opportunity, you have to assess and you have to discern whether it's worth it. Because if you get on a place by the view,
well, we decided,
I wouldn't even bother going on it.
Yeah, remember we
decided.
Yeah. Remember you and I discussed it for a long time, and I said, T, is it really worth going on it? Because they have no interest in information.
Right.
It's all about a setup. And there's no, you know, they have an agenda, and they'll do anything they can to make you look foolish. So what's the point of going on there?
There is a particular show on which you and I were featured quite a bit here locally, and you and I both made a decision talking about it and praying about it that it's not worth it, because it's the same situation on a much smaller scale, only in the Metro Detroit area. But there are some circumstances that they just want to bring you in, and they want to make it a screaming match and drown you out and make you look like an idiot, even if you're very knowledgeable. And so you have to really, really be careful and not think that every single opportunity has to be one that's taken. So super important. But, I mean, just in general conversation, and even on Facebook, it's a great time to maybe share a few different articles with people, maybe from good sources like The Register or Catholic News Agency or Our Sunday Visitor or whatever, giving people background on the papacy. Or my book, V, I know we're going to be talking about it on your show, Italy Shrines and Wonders.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the main reasons I wrote it is for stealth evangelization.
T, I just did a social media post on reading and with my next Epiphany Book Club and your book to talk about the importance of reading as we grow in our faith, right? And these are fun ways to have conversations with your friend. So I just was talking about your latest book on my social media platforms yesterday on X and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. I put it out there. And I think that's a great way to evangelize the faith and talk about. Sometimes it's you don't need to engage in conversations. I read X all the time because I like to see what's going on in the news, and I share stuff with you. You know, and I pray before I comment. Sometimes, you know, 99% of the time I have something to say, but I don't always say it. Because I'm thinking, is it edifying? Is it worth it? Is my commentary, you know, is it gonna make a difference, what my comment on this? Is it, you know, and sometimes I do comment, you know, and I'll hashtag or I'll tag people. But you have to be very strategic in the conversations you engage in on any, right. on any of this, whether it's face-to-face. You know, sometimes people will say things publicly, and I'm like, is it worth commenting? Am I going to be able to evangelize the faith, or is this going to end up in a fight?
Right.
You know, so
right.
you have to be very, pray, call on the Holy Spirit. I do it all the time. Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Give me the words you know other people need to hear. And if I don't
Absolutely.
Feel the Holy Spirit prompting me, I just keep my mouth shut.
One of the things, too, I think where Hollywood just blows it is that they just don't relate to people in the real world. And I think that's a huge problem. And some Catholics do that as well, where they get up on their high horse and they talk like they're talking to a philosophy class, you know, versus real people. But I was looking at the Hollywood elitists who were talking about Selena Gomez and how she was really upset. Well, she said she was upset and crying, all these tears on Facebook about the deportations and whatnot of many of her people from Mexico. And then she shows up at the Oscars wearing what? I don't know how much her necklace was worth.
It was worth more than most people can buy a house for. So she's mm-hmm. crying, you know, it's like, you know, I did comment and I said, did she win the Oscar for her performance last month? I mean, to mm-hmm. me, it was a joke. So out of touch. And all these Hollywood elitists taking a political stance on the whole thing with Zelensky at the White House. And it's like they're so out of touch with what's going on in the world and how people feel. I mean, we gave this guy billions of dollars, a lot of what's not accounted for. The man shows up to the White House with such disrespect by the way he wears, the way he acted, and they're taking these stances politically and don't realize that more than half Americans are supporting how the president is handling these situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're giving a lot of our money through U.S. aid to help other people, and our own people in this country are suffering. I mean, where is the disconnect? The very people who made you rich and famous are the ones struggling to put food on their own table and pay their bills and their medical bills, and they're completely out of touch. And then, yet they want us to celebrate them at the Oscars when they're right. wearing dresses and jewelry more than the homes that people live in cost. I mean, they have no connection to reality. It's unbelievable.
Right. And now, V, there was a story I ran in the news at 8 o'clock, and I'll run it again in the 9 o'clock hour, that the Prime Minister of England says, yes, we're going to give you some help, not nearly as much as we've been giving. We've given, what, over $100 billion, and they're giving like $3 billion. And they said, yeah, we're going to give you some help, but everything that we do has to be approved by the United States and President Trump. So for the media to sit there and say that Trump was not very diplomatic and that he was attacking or set up Zelensky, give me a break.
Well, T, just a few years ago in 2022, Biden attacked Zelensky, too, in Ukraine.
Yeah,
and
right.
So does the media have amnesia? I mean, do they not remember this? They reported it.
They have
it.
A selective memory, very
yeah.
much a selective memory.
Because it doesn't fit their current narrative. That's what kills me.
Right.
It's like their narrative keeps changing based on their political agendas going on. And who's telling? And we know this already. It's already been reported that USAID was giving money to political and other media outlets. It was already reported that Soros was getting millions and millions of dollars of our taxpayer dollars to use it mm-hmm. against our own people in protest and paying people to protest. I mean, all of this is coming out. And so this is why there's the credibility is in the tank. Why are people even listening or believing anything that the media is saying? I mean, they have selected amnesia. They report they want because it fits their agenda. And we know a lot of their money that they were getting is coming from our own tax dollars.
Right, right. And they're misrepresenting what the president is saying and doing. They're claiming now that this is proof that he really is a Russian spy, even though that was totally debunked and thrown out by their own people, by their own Democrats eventually when it was proven to be wrong. They're not understanding Donald Trump is a negotiator, a key negotiator.
Yeah.
And in The Art of the Deal, talking about, look, you're not going to get everything you want from both sides, so there has to be negotiations. And he's saying he's not a fan of Putin, but this is, you know, a world power that somehow you have to talk with him. If there's going to be peace, you have to somehow
engage in negotiations, and that's what he's talking about.
And his goal is peace.
Yeah,
his goal
exactly.
is peace, to bring right. peace. And what I don't understand, too, is what the media fails to report is that it was Zelensky that asked the media to be present. It
yes.
was Zelensky
yes.
that wanted the reporters in the room, and it backfired on him. And now they're going to bat for him. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to defend him. He's the one that wanted this on the public stage, not Trump. Mm-hmm. Trump wasn't yep. trying to prove anything to anybody. And so the media fails to report that.
It to me was like he reminded me of the people in Hollywood or the people on the left. They're so entitled. I mean,
yeah.
here's someone who's been given billions, and the war continues, and it really, the information that was put out really gives the impression that he just wants this to keep going because it's a source of power for him. That's
power
the impression
and control.
I get.
And his own yeah. people have come out. His ratings have tanked in his own country. His approval ratings have tanked in our country. The polls that are
Did
coming
Did you see
out,
his ambassador, the picture
yeah.
of his ambassador
oh, yeah.
in the meeting?
Shaking her
mm-hmm.
head. And she was, like, you yeah. tell, visibly embarrassed by his actions. And so the polls are showing, the media polls are showing that people are not supporting him, not in our country and not in his own country. And yet the media is still continuing down this narrative. And then you got celebrities who are out there commenting who are so out of touch with reality.
Right.
It's like,
right.
and then I question every report, every celebrity that's getting involved in the politics. I question, you know, what's in it for them? What's going on? Who's paying them?
I
mean, follow the money. And, you know, T, never did I think when we said we'd follow the money that we'd follow it to USAID and find out our own tax dollars was paying for so much of this corruption.
How many times, V, did you and I sit there and say on this show, since we started in the news segment, and on your show as well, on Epiphany,
yeah.
where we wondered, as people who are in the secular media and know how important ratings are,
yeah.
saying, how can these networks be, newspapers, all these different outlets, be surviving? Because the
yeah.
ratings are in the toilet.
Well, it's our taxpayer dollars, USAID.
Right, and we suspected it,
yeah.
but there was no trail. Now we
yeah.
know.
Now, there's a trail because Doge came out and proved that USAID was paying many media outlets our taxpayer dollars to push a narrative like political. And that,
yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable. Never did I think it was going to be our own money. You know what I mean? I knew it was somebody. And now we found out Soros doesn't even use his own money. Soros is using your taxpayer dollars to go and attack our own country and our own land. How
yeah.
insane is that?
Hence the reason he's still a multi-billionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he didn't give away his own money.
He was never using his own money. Think about 2020 and all the rioting going on in all these cities all across the country, and our own political people, our own elected officials saying, oh, they're, you know, leave them alone. Let them be. They're expressing themselves. The mayor of Chicago letting
people
loot. It's
a movement, as Kamala Harris once said.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mm-hmm. mean, it's insanity. Because why? Somebody was paying them, and they were paying them through your own tax dollars. That's the insanity.
Yep, yep. And now we can literally follow the money. V, great discussion. Look forward to Epiphany today, and I know I'm going to be on to talk
this
about
week.
Upcoming Women's Day, National Women's Day. We're
yes.
going to talk about the book, too. Yeah.
Yeah, T, you're going to be on regularly, you know, a couple times a month, and we're going to talk about the whole Jubilee in Italy as we talk about your book. We're going to walk through your book on Epiphany.
Mm, so fun.
As we walk
Thanks,
through
me.
Italy. Okay, T. Talk to you
okay,
soon.
Okay, love you. Have a
okay.
great show. And we will talk a little bit later, of course, our own Vanessa Denha-Garmo, host of Epiphany, Monday through Friday at noon. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Right now, we're up to 26 degrees. Woohoo! Stay tuned.
Does artificial intelligence spell boon or doom for human flourishing? We'll be examining the past, present, and future of AI at our annual Familiaris Consortio Conference, hosted by Ave Maria Radio and Father Gabriel Richard High School. Join us for a morning of discussion and learning as we explore how Catholics can purposefully and faithfully engage with this growing technology. Saturday, March the 8th, with Mass at 8 a.m. That's Saturday, March the 8th at FGR High School in Ann Arbor. Learn more and register for free in the slider at AveMariaRadio.net.
Why did God the Father permit His only Son to endure such torture, humiliation, and death for such an unworthy and ungrateful group as we humans? It is probably the greatest mystery of all times. The only explanations are love and justice, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The Father so loved His creatures He gave up His only Son to the cross to redeem us and to reconcile us to Himself. The Son loved us enough to freely offer up His life to the Father as a redemptive and reconciling act, making Him both the Paschal sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the sacrifice of the new covenant, which restores man to communion with God. Justice enters the scene because man's disobedience required a monumental and unique sacrifice that only the Son of God, made man, could achieve. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
The Conference for Study and Prayer is a weekend event aimed at helping Catholics better understand their faith. Milas Christi presents knowledgeable speakers who provide thorough and sound presentations on important topics of our Catholic faith and its impact on society. This year's theme will focus on the Sacred Heart of Jesus and will take place at the St. John's Resort in Plymouth on March 15th and 16th. For details and to reserve your tickets, go to milaschristi.org. That's milaschristi.org.
Oh, I love this song. Michael. Yep. Yamo, be there. Speaking of Yamo, as in God, another word for God, the Bible verse of the week for our second hour of the program with Gail Buckley-Barringer coming up at 50 minutes past the hour will be Joel 2:12. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. We'll also talk with Michael New, latest pro-life research, and how to prepare for Lent with our friend Marge Fenelon. Even though it's Monday before Ash Wednesday, it's never too late. Should a beautiful piece to the register, now is the time, ASAP, to prepare for Lent. We'll be right back on a Monday. 25 degrees now. Overcast? Well, no, mostly in our area, sunny. We'll be right back.